from talk about one Titans draft pick to talk about another Titans draft pick. Mike Griffith joins us now from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution at Mike Griffith 32. Mike, how in the world are you in the land of the varsity in Atlanta?
Doing great, guys. How you doing?
Great, Mike.
Yeah, I'd be doing better if I had a big cup of that frosted orange drink. Anytime we have somebody on from Atlanta, that's all I think about. I'm a big varsity guy. But let's talk about Monty Rice in the third round. It was interesting, Mike, because looking at draft grades and, you know, all the experts, I was ultimately surprised he went as high as he did. Were you surprised that he went in the third round to the Titans?
Yes and no. I mean, you know, yes, from the standpoint that, you know, Monty didn't have a great senior year because he had a foot injury about half the year. I mean, the guy was in and out of the training room doing what he had to do to get on the field. He tested out well on his pro day. And then no, from the standpoint that he's just, this guy's just a baller. I mean, he's a three-year starter. He's a team captain. He's a guy that, you know, when Monty Rice speaks, everybody in the locker room listens. I mean, he's that kind of guy. I mean, he's a locker room guy. He's a motivated guy. He's a tough guy. He's a no-nonsense, bring your hard hat to work guy. Basically the opposite of what Isaiah Wilson was or is.
Hey, since you said that, can I ask you, are you surprised that that thing went as far south as fast as it did with Isaiah Wilson here?
I am. I really am. I'm surprised and I'm saddened by it because, you know, Isaiah is a guy that, you know, really could have used another year. I mean, clearly this is a guy that, you know, we've talked about, you know, how money can affect people. There were no signs of this with Isaiah Wilson in Georgia. I mean, Georgia, there was no issues. There was no off the field. You know, watching Isaiah play, I mean, he's a good teammate. He's a popular guy. It's just, you know, all of a sudden you infuse a guy with all this money and not much leadership around him, maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure, but you know, it's played out before all of our eyes on social media, and I just shake my head. There just doesn't seem to be anybody that can, you know, help Isaiah, and he doesn't seem to want to help himself. And I'll tell you guys, now that we're going to have this name, image, and likeness stuff, and these college players are all going to be getting—not all, but some of these college players are going to be getting some money. You know, maybe as freshmen. I mean, you almost wonder, you know, what's going to happen, and, you know, not to derail your interview on money, but what the heck's going to happen when you start putting a lot of money in the pockets of kids that have never had it and maybe don't have the good leadership around them?
Well, it's going to be the million-dollar question, but I don't know what it's going to be worth. But whatever dollars, it's that dollar question for sure, and it's going to put a lot more pressure on athletic departments. I used to work in one. And I can tell you, I did 8 people's job at the school that I worked at. So this is going to add another job or two to some more people's plates. Be interesting to see how it goes. Mike Griffith joins us at Mike Griffith 32 on Twitter, Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Well, Mike, thanks for coming on. This is Blaine. And I guess first you hit on a little points there about Monty Rice and all are very valuable, being a 3-year starter, team captain, very serious guy, serious about his craft. But tell us what his weaknesses are as far as an actual player, because was he good in passing situations? I'm just trying to figure out what role he's going to play if he has to quickly if someone gets injured.
You know, I've got questions. You know, listen, Monty was great run stuff. You know, Georgia's led the nation in run defense the last 2 years, and Monty's the reason why, right? So, number one, he's one of these guys that gets everybody. It sounds so simple. People are like, oh, he gets everybody lined up. So what? It's like, no. That's not easy at the college level in the 20-hour rule. I mean, this guy is a – you know, I mean, he's a taskmaster. He doesn't miss assignments. He doesn't miss missed assignment, right? You know, a couple of years ago, Georgia didn't allow a rushing touchdown until the 10th game of the year, and that's because you got Monty in the middle. You know, that's because Monty's at the mic, and he's going to plug the half. You know, they're going to be gap assignment sound. So, you know, he kind of built his reputation up as this run-stuffing guy. You know, and then there were questions, well, how is he in pass coverage? Sometimes he comes out in pass coverage the first 2 years. That's as much because Georgia's got all these 5-star guys and they got to get them on the field, right? So if you've got a guy that you can specialize as a third down backer and take a guy like Monty off the field on third down, you do it. And they had that in this N'Kobe Dean, 5-star kid out of Mississippi a couple years ago. But last year, Monty was there to answer the bell. and really improved his pass coverage. You can go back, and I'm sure the Titans have already looked at the job that he did. You know, really kind of sticking to Kadarius Toney in that Florida game. I mean, you know, nobody shuts him down, but, I mean, you know, the guy didn't have much breathing room. You see Monty Rice running stride for stride like that. So he really stepped up his pass coverage. And, you know, Jim Nagy, you know, buddy of mine that runs the Senior Bowl, said, hey, that's why we invited Monty. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, he's just a run stopper, but actually the pass coverage this year, you know, the first half of the year, and then in the parts he was able to play the second half on that foot, you know, he really showed up and showed improvement. So, I mean, you know, the Titans, they like him. You know, I think they're pretty good at assessing talent. I think the character part takes care of itself, you know, because I have the same questions, right? I mean, you draft a guy from Georgia after what happened with Isaiah Wilson, and you're thinking to yourself, why are you going back to that well? You know, but you know, just like when Pac-Man Jones was with the Titans, you couldn't say the whole team was, you know, lacked character, was undisciplined. And these guys do their homework. They've been watching, you know, Monty for years. He's a Huntsville kid. You know, they've been keeping tabs on this guy when they watch. They got scouts that stay in touch. They know everything I'm telling you about Monty Rice and his toughness. And, you know, that's what they want. You know, you want to fill your locker room up with guys like Monty because you think to yourself, hey, this guy's got some upside, and maybe he's a starter. But worst case scenario, you got a locker room guy that's going to light somebody's ass up. Oh, excuse me. They're going to light somebody up every time he gets on the field. And that's your worst case scenario.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's good stuff there. Michael Griffin, man, got fired. Got me fired up too, man. I got to ask you two more questions real quick. Is JT Daniels the answer at quarterback, or is there still a little bit of doubt?
Oh, there's no question about JT's ability to distribute the ball. I mean, this dude is, I mean, this guy's proven, and, you know, the knee's good, the mobility's back. I mean, he comes in the game. He comes off. I mean, think about this, guys. He didn't play all year. He's on the scout team, right? In the first game that he plays, he throws for over 400 yards and four touchdowns. And he hadn't played all year. He had, like, 1 week working with the first team. See, they thought he was going to be the guy, but then he didn't get cleared for the opener, and he went down to the scout team. Kirby moved on. Team moved on. So you throw him out there, and in the last four games of the year, he goes 4-0, and he completes 67% of his passes with 10 touchdowns and two picks. You know, I have people asking, what kind of numbers is he going to put up? You know, I said, well, don't ask me, and don't ask JT, ask Kirby. You know, what do you want to do inside the 10-yard line, coach? You want to run it three times as Zamir White, try to pump up his numbers? Or are you going to let this guy throw the ball? That's the real question. You got a guy that can throw the ball. Now, they lost Pickens. And Pickens was big time, man. Pickens was going to have an A.J. Green 1,000-yard, 100-catch kind of year. He's out. So now they got to distribute the ball. They got some really good tight ends. They don't have receivers like LSU or Alabama. They just don't. Georgia fans get upset when I say that, but it's just a fact.
It is a fact, right? Well, one more, though, real quick, because you give us the facts there, Mike.
No doubt.
And that is, who is more beloved, Kirby Smart or Mark Richt?
That's scrimmage, and he's going to be empowered to fly the jet, right? He's going to be empowered at the line to make those adjustments. And the key is, does he have a receiving core that could be on the same page, number one? And number two, does Kirby Smart turn him loose? And I think to some extent he will. Against Clemson, they'll have to in the opener. Then that schedule gets soft until about midway through the year. Then comes Arkansas. I'm not counting Arkansas. I think Arkansas is going to be a little tougher than some people. Arkansas and Auburn come about, and then we find out what Georgia's really made of.
Oh, okay. Well, I was asking you what the fan base, who do they love more, Mark Richt or Kirby Smart? I'm sorry we went out.
Well, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, Kirby's the guy. I mean, he played at Georgia. He was an all-SEC safety. You know, he's led him to a national championship game. He won three straight East titles. You know, Coach Richt has his place in the lineage, too. I mean, Georgia's not where they are if Mark Richt doesn't have the success that he has. Hey, guys, it wasn't too long ago I was in Knoxville covering the Tennessee Vols. And I'll never forget it. 2001, Phil Fulmer goes to the Swamp to play a Steve Spurrier team that's headed for the national title. And they're a 16-point underdog. And Casey Clawson goes in there and lights up those Gators, man. And boom, That's Spurrier's last game at the Swamp. He's out. Florida fans are upset. Spurrier says, I don't need it. I'm going to the league. And everybody at Tennessee is thinking, all right, Spurrier's gone. It's Tennessee time. Well, guess what? Mark Richt in Georgia said, not so fast, Phil. And Tennessee never did assume that dominance in the East like we all thought that they would when Steve Spurrier moved on from Florida. So Mark Richt played a pretty key role. Georgia had a lot of success. You look at his numbers, they're very similar to Coach Fulmer, who was a first ballot Hall of Famer. And he just doesn't have that national championship like Tennessee and Coach Fulmer had in 1998.
Wow.
Good stuff. Mike, good stuff, man. Nothing but the facts, right? At Mike Griffith 32, people can follow you there, Atlanta Journal-Constitution and Dog Nation. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it,
Mike. All right, guys. Have a great one.
Thank you.
Always.